welcome to another edition of Chatting Change, a lively conversation hosted by me, Rami Chweni, and my handsome co-host, Nhlakanipho Manqele, about navigating some of life's big change moments. In this edition, we joined at the kitchen table by
Jason Goliath,
expert on all things tying the knot.
What did it the budget way?
Chatting Change is made just for you by Bright Rock, the first ever needs matched life insurance that changes as your life changes.
Yes, sir. You know how many weddings I've been to lately?
No.
So many weddings, and one wedding is bigger than the next. The budget that went into it, but also not just the budget, the stress
emotions
that came with emotions. Yeah. One of the brides waited for 4 hours for her dress to arrive on the wedding day.
That was stressful, probably.
Imagine, and we were there waiting for the dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that's why we've got Jason Goliath to come and talk to us.
Who did it the budget way and made it fun still?
Yeah.
Let's hear what he says.
I've been to see the preacher man. I started making wedding plans. You guys are like just a couple of shanana.
I saw the invoice.
And what did you think?
I started to cry. My debit orders weren't ready.
Were they not? Were you shook?
The dress I still had to buy.
The dress I died. Well, that's what happens, guys. That's what happens when you plan weddings.
Well, especially if it's a budget, you sing your own song.
Actually, the beetroot is expensive.
Everything is expensive.
Yeah.
Everything is expensive, and I've never seen more layering and padding. They are, you know how we speak positively about labels?
Yeah.
There are labels to the invoice.
Of course.
You get charged just for the venue.
Yes.
Then the venue says to you, yeah, but we don't have anything. Then you say, what do you mean
anything?
You are a venue.
Yeah.
Where do people sit when they come here?
They say, no.
There are no chairs.
It's a venue. It doesn't come with a chair.
So then, okay, now there's chairs. Then they say, no, but these chairs are not looking.
Yeah.
You need a cover.
Yeah.
Label. Then now you've done all of this, there's not one flower, my friend.
No.
Not one flower.
Then this serviette and the serviette.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
then they ask you, what are you going to feed your people?
Yeah.
Like, but aren't you the venue?
Mm-mm. Yeah, but then, you know, even the food doesn't come with...
It doesn't.
Like, the catering doesn't come with...
No, nothing comes.
No.
With
no.
plates.
No.
And
nothing. Then you're dealing with the 60
there's
people.
There's underplate? No, there's that other one.
There's the decorative.
The one that you don't touch.
Underplate.
Yeah.
The foundation.
The real underplate.
Yeah.
The plate.
Yeah.
The side plate. The
side plate.
The
side dish.
The side dish, whatever, the bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then 14 knives and forks.
It is 14.
14 knives and forks.
And spoons going up the other way.
There's not even dessert.
But then there's no
because we can't afford the dessert.
No.
But we've got to buy the 14 spoons.
Yeah. Okay, but then I'm glad that you didn't do anything like that, right?
No.
You got married. Did you have a white wedding when I'm talking?
Not yet.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
We went
to the
traditional
side. So you've done traditional.
Not all of it.
I'm starting to think that he didn't have money. So he's still trying to gather himself because...
No, we don't understand what the Lapola arrangements were.
That's
before we accuse
exactly.
a man of... Before we accuse a man of not having money, we need to understand what he's spent
Jason,
already.
I'm saying, after the Lapola...
Now he's broke.
The man is broke.
Okay, I like that. I thought you were just
then
saying,
we play.
In general, he's broke.
Generally
in general.
Speaking, I know,
categorically
guys.
Speaking.
Categorically, his debit orders are not safe. That's what I thought you were trying to
from
say.
From Lobola, they're shaking.
Hey. And Wena, you tell us about your wedding because I knew it was something completely different.
So in honesty, I consider myself one of the best wedding MCs ever.
Okay.
And I don't speak about any other part of my work like that. Like I'll never refer to my comedy like that or my standard MCing like that. But from a wedding point of view, because I love weddings and because I love, I take emceeing a wedding very seriously.
Yeah.
So, like, the first rule is if I don't like the couple, I can't do the wedding.
Really?
So, I have to have a meeting. I have to have a meeting. Even though they're paying,
yeah.
I have to have a meeting. And if I can see, I don't like the vibes or I don't like what's going on, then I can't be sincere. But if I do the wedding, then I understand the science of the thing because you have two groups of people that have two backgrounds.
They've been,
you know, they come from normally two different cultures nowadays in South
and
Africa.
All of them, both they have that uncle and that aunt.
You know, we all have that
different
uncle.
Lobola situations from either families.
That uncle that doesn't wear a vest because it's cold. He wears a vest because he knows once the music starts, the shirt is coming off.
It has to,
then because you know what I mean. He needs the branding needs to be able to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
So because I kind of had done so many weddings, it was very easy for me to have a picture in my mind of the wedding that I wanted. And my wife, I think, I don't know if it's fair to say instinctively, but maybe from, you know, the circle of influence, a lot of her friends had lots of weddings.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were both a lot older, so we'd had a lot more time to think about it.
Yeah.
Then I was like, the problem with weddings is the bigger you go, the less intimate the experience.
That's
and I
true.
Wanted
That's
I wanted true. Intimacy. So then I came up with this marvelous plan to do a lunchtime wedding. I'd spoken to the Westcliff because, you know, I was a friend of the Westcliff at the time. So I said, listen.
So are you saying you've gone up or you've gone down?
No. I'm still a friend of the Westcliff.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying then we were very friendly.
Oh,
very,
you're part-time friendly.
Very, very friendly.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to the Westcliff and I said, cool, I have this idea. Can you execute? I said, what we're going to do is we have an outdoor ceremony in your rose garden, right?
Yeah.
From the rose garden, we go to the balcony below their ballroom and we set up. So we have 60 people at the ceremony, then lunch for 60 people. So our tightest people, 30 each from each side, tightest. And then, because I figured that most people that are not that close to the bride and groom, you actually come for the party.
Mm. Yes.
Instead of inviting people for the formalities, I would then go, now that we're done with lunch, come for sundowners on the deck, and then we open the ballroom, like to open the dance floor and invite another 160 people. So then you start with 60. You start with 60, then another 160. We'd have taken our list to capacity for the venue, which would have been 220. And I thought that was so smart because now what is happening is you have the intimacy and the moments for the speeches and, you know, people are crying and da-da-da-da-da. And then all of your you know, friends, associates, whatever, they all come a bit later, then have the after party.
Yeah.
Then it goes on Monday morning, I'll never forget, I got the invoice from the Westland. And then I realized, oh, we are not that good friends, you know.
When
you see a number and you go, okay,
I thought you were Martin's voice speaking.
You know, so I saw this thing, and of course now, I mean, I've made promises to my wife, what was my wife to be at the time already. So now I'm committed to this.
Yeah.
So you start planning, then you realize on this invoice. Oh, but here, okay, we've got food and we've got two drinks each for, you know, that's what they kind of quoted on. Then I was like, but there's not a decoration, there's not a flower, there's not a tablecloth, there's not a DJ, there's not a light, there's not a speaker,
there's
a microphone, there's no mirror ball, there's no decorations. And of course, she wants all of these things. Then I'm still trying to digest. We go to a launch that night and I meet a friend of mine, Billy. And Billy, the first thing he says to me, chap, I haven't seen you in a long time. How's the planning going? Mm-hmm. So I go, yo, dog, I got the invoice today.
Mm. Yeah.
And he laughs. So he says, I know where you're at. He says, I got married 2 years ago and I gave my wife the most 5-star wedding ever.
Yeah.
So I go, tell me how. And he says, well, it was just the two of us. So he said, he set his wife down and he said to her, look at this invoice and why are we spending this money on these people?
Wow.
And then he said, if we can take this money, because it's not about the money, if we can take this money and spend it on ourselves, I'll give you the most 5-star wedding ever. So I was like, Billy, that's genius. My wife was in the car by that time because we were walking out of an event.
Yeah.
I jumped in the car, told my wife
told
what Billy told me.
Yeah.
She agreed immediately. And then I said, if you say yes, we'll go on a holiday that we can't afford. She said, I'm in, but our mothers.
Yeah, that's always
that
the case.
That is always a problem.
It's the families that are going to now
it's,
say,
it's not your wedding. It's your mother's wedding.
No, but I think by this point, because I mean, I was 38 when I got married. My wife was 37.
Mm.
And I think by that point, our mothers were just happy that we were getting married.
You know what I mean? I think after 35, was in the
30s. I think after 35, my mom was like, it's not going to happen. And then she was like, my boy, as long as you get married, I don't care about anything.
How
and in fact, don't waste the money.
Yeah.
So we took probably 50% of what we were budgeting and went on the most ridiculous honeymoon. And it was just, we were the most important people in the world for 12 days.
Yeah.
The major differences, and I think this is the part that nobody speaks about when you elope.
Yeah.
So we had a small little ceremony here. I invited 50 people. The rule was if you'd SMS me the week before or phoned me the week before.
You just went down to your phone list.
Okay. No, on the phone.
On the phone,
On the phone. I just replied to you immediately. So if I chatted to you, you'd come. You had 50 people that cried. I invited everybody to Wimpy at the airport because we were leaving same day. From the church.
Wimpy for
I
weddings.
I booked a table in the food court at Wimpy at Or Tambo. I said, if you want a burger, come through. About 25 people of the 50 came.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a great burger. And we jet set it off. But the part that I think a lot of people don't address is the money is one thing.
Mm. Yeah.
But the major difference I noticed on my wedding day compared to every wedding that I've emceed is my wife and I were in such a good mood. Because what happens is wedding planning is so stressful.
It is stressful. Yes. And you're sitting there in your car. Oh, man. You're worried and is the trifle going to melt?
We've had so many fights up to that point.
Yes, absolutely.
Because his family said, what do you mean trifle? Yeah. And her family said, but that's granny's recipe.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Now you've had fights, you're stressed, you don't know how you're going to pay for all of this.
Some families, especially, well, I don't know about you guys, but in our black culture, the families get disappointed if there's a caterer because there are certain aunts
and they mothers want to come who on are Thursday going to start do the cooking. Peeling the butter
Exactly.
And in those families, it doesn't matter how good the catering is.
Exactly.
Not good enough.
Yeah. Like, oh, what are you saying about us?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that we can't cook?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And it's always that aunt who has the key to the room that has all the alcohol.
Not only a key. I like that you pointed here. That sports belly bag. Like those aunties can pull. I've seen an auntie pull a Hilux bucket out of her.
I am telling you, bro.
What is?
Go fill this jar with water, my son.
It is called the trust bag.
No, that thing. It's deep, warm, and moist.
Okay. You know what? You know what I want to talk about as well is. Obviously, just being the two of you, it has been fulfilling. You had the wedding of your dreams. You saved money.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was intimate. And now...
But just I gave her the white wedding on the beach, just so that we could...
Yes, okay.
We got to wear the dress. We got the pictures. And
People were there.
Double page spread in the U magazine. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And then you come back.
I think that's what we work for.
Then you come back.
Yes.
And now, the uncle with the vest.
Yes.
Who did not get the SMS. He
wasn't there.
Yes.
That he must come to the Wimpy NORT.
Mm-hmm.
Now goes, oh, sunny boy.
Yeah, you think.
Yeah, after everything I've done for you all these years.
And then your success comes into question. Yeah.
You see.
Now that you are famous, you're doing this to me.
You see, I think the other blessing about being 38 is by 38 you've thinned the relationships. You've gotten rid of those. You know, you've gotten rid of the vest. You've taken the vest out of your life. You have divested. You have divested. Because I'm like, if you're 38 and you still hang around with people you don't like, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Yeah,
and that's a true statement. I'm just like, if you're 38 and you hang out with people you don't enjoy or spend time and energy on people you don't enjoy, then I don't know what's up.
Yeah.
For me, I had none of that, is the truth. Because within the 50 were my nearest and dearest and the most important people.
Mm.
And everybody else was just sincerely happy that we'd gotten married.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was. But I get what you say, and I can understand that. But weirdly enough, I'd be lying if I said that was the case.
Yeah.
Everybody was just happy. And I think that everybody was happy that we did it our way and that it looked like we had the best time because we did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think from outside we escaped those. Because people bear grudges about weddings.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
It's called
they
feuds,
do.
Those things.
They do.
They do. A
they
lot.
Really do, because the wedding isn't yours.
No.
It never is.
Everybody else.
No,
yeah.
That's why.
And you didn't have to do any...
We don't even like.
You didn't have to do any cultural sides of things. You didn't have to do traditional this and that.
Well, I was fortunate enough to... So because we couldn't legally get married in the Maldives, and I thought that court was just, for me personally and especially for our moms, was going to be a little bit impersonal.
Yeah.
So I called up the minister from my childhood church. Her name is Heidi and she's great.
Mm.
And I was like, yo, this is my vibe.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks before the wedding, I was like, yo, this is the vibe. This is the date. Can you accommodate me?
Mm.
She's never been happier. She was like, I'll cancel everything. There's stuff happening. No. But for this...
But for you, we'll accommodate.
And she was also just...
She was better than the Westcliff. You see that?
The friendship
better.
Is there.
The true
not
friendship.
The Westcliff. Yeah.
True friendship.
Yeah.
You know when somebody says, so I'm like, hey, what must I pay? Then they're like, no, well, you know, just give us 100 rand for the tea. Flipper. Clipper.
What
also expensive
Clipper.
Tea, though.
I mean, I gave... No, there's 50 cups of tea. We get 50 cups of tea for 100 rands.
What tea is this? Trinkle?
Just get tea on, man. This?
No, I don't look at the brand. But the aunties from the church came. It was a Tuesday morning. The aunties from the church came. They were operating there. My wife's best friend sister baked us a cake that looked a bit weddingish. Cut the cake, slung the tea there in the church hall.
Yeah.
Great times.
Did you go out on the cake, though?
What do you mean?
Like, did you go all out in terms of money, or was it just
no?
It
was
a gift.
Best friend, someone.
It was beautiful.
Oh,
okay. It was a wedding cake, but it was a gift.
Woolworths.
No,
homemade.
Just homemade. That one.
Homemade.
You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
You go down like this.
Thank you.
The fruitcake. Fruitcake, not fruitcake.
No. It was, I like chocolate
cake.
Where
in the name of
us.
1972 are you?
No, hey. Please, people are still planning their weddings. They're asking for advice. People haven't had their weddings yet.
Don't say fruitcake.
I haven't had mine, that's why I'm asking. I don't know. Do they still do fruitcake?
I had a chocolate cake. It was incredible.
Yeah.
The cake got finished.
Yeah.
And then I bought burgers and we left.
Okay.
I mean, it was great. I advise that everybody do it. I don't think it's for everybody. So, yeah, so some people. True. So my whole thing was, and if you take a moment maybe to be serious, my biggest stress was that my wife was doing it for me, and that in 10 years' time this was going to come back to bite me. To go, I'd grown up dreaming of this moment that you took from me.
Yeah. Never give it,
so
never
my wife and I had to have a very honest and real conversation about. Is this really
so
for both
say,
of us?
Are you sure? Like,
I had to say it a million times. And it's not. It's I always say, like, you know, my relationship with money as I've grown older has definitely changed, in the sense that in my 20s I was obsessed with money, and money was my objective. Yeah. So whatever I was doing was in the line of achieving that money.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm so blessed, in the sense that money's become kind of a byproduct where I get to do the things I love. So I do radio in the mornings because I love radio. I do comedy in the evenings.
So it's no longer the actual car. Money is the oil 100%. That keeps the car moving.
Yeah. So, but it's also a situation where the money will come. So if I just do the thing that I like to do,
the money will come.
So I have to explain to my wife, like, the thing
faith,
but the thing with that is also, we'll make the money back. Yeah. I don't want the decision to be based on the money. Because in 10 years' time, your financial situation is different. You look back, your sympathies are different.
Yeah.
Your tolerances are different.
Yeah.
So in terms of me making that mindset change, I had to then also realize that it's no longer, because the biggest change for me was I was a bachelor until 38. And if you get married at 25, I don't believe you're the person you're going to become yet.
True.
So you're not as set in your ways. Yeah. You're still malleable.
Yeah.
But even the decisions you take that time, you know, when you're 25 compared to when you're 30.
There's a lot of things that you won't
a big difference.
Have your hand or your arm bent for. You will just say no.
You know what you don't want.
Yeah.
So I had to make sure, because the biggest change for me was going from I to we. You know what I mean? It's our wedding, which means she's got to be as happy about the whole situation as I am.
Yeah.
And her words to me were, I was doing it for you.
Yeah.
Because I thought you wanted the big wedding.
Yeah.
Really?
And I was like, but I'm paying for it. How can you be doing it for me? That's not the way. And she was like, no, you've been speaking about it and you assumed that it's what I wanted. And in fact, the way she convinced me was, she played me a voice note from her mom. Because immediately after we had the conversation, she sent her mom a message. Her mom sent her a voice note going, that's the best news I've ever heard. I'm so glad you're not wasting the money.
Wow.
So, that is awesome.
And your parents?
My mom's, and well, my mom and dad were just like, you know, whatever you want. As long as you are happy, we back you 100%. And we've always had that relationship, which is really great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think it's everybody's decision. I think, you know, sometimes you have to fulfill that cultural, maybe religious obligation. Or just, you know, make sure that your wife's dreams come true. Because weddings are beautiful. They are a wonderful celebration. I don't understand why it's a competition. I don't understand why people are, you know, seem to
be... Because it's always like about the biggest dress, the biggest hair, the location.
Yeah. We trended for 4 days.
Yes,
of course. Your relationship, and you found out that the relationship was actually quite a secret before. Now all of a sudden you want to advertise it with a big wedding. Yet no one knew you were even together sometimes.
That's why people, they go out and source sponsorship.
Yeah.
Just so that they can have the biggest wedding. Mm. And now you find that you can't even cough because they're like, sorry, we need to do that again. The camera was not rolling.
Well, they make you late. They arrive 2 hours late.
The camera crew now.
Yeah. Now must be thinking.
And then their own footage, they own some of the rights to your wedding. Because someone is trying to have the most expensive
100%.
Wedding with zero budget. But 100%. Now you end up having people dictating to you
now when you
how
walk
the
in
wedding
this
is going to
be. Sign saying the hashtags for the ceremony.
I know.
Gosh, guys.
Absolutely. And I think that is like such a big pressure. Okay. And it doesn't happen with just famous people or celebrities.
Oh, no.
Everybody is doing it across board.
Yeah.
And I think we need...
Even though
they
call it celebrity
weddings. Yes. And we need things that are this refreshing. I'm like thinking, I think Billy's like the man right now, you know?
Billy is the man because Billy taught me to you know, I mean, we were speaking offline earlier about how important it is to love yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that... It's dawned on me that it's not only important to love yourself, but it's also important to be kind to yourself.
True.
So the kinder you are to yourself, I think the more capacity for kindness you have for everybody else. And I think that what my wife and I did is we were very kind to ourselves through the entire process. So we took the stress of planning a big wedding out. When we took that stress out, we went, okay, cool. We've now got to have a celebration that we're going to remember forever. It's still got to be. When we look back at it, we've got to be warm. So instead of trying to plan this thing ourselves and stress, we went to a travel agent and did it, like, you know what I mean?
Because now, because it sorts it out.
No, but it had to also be that not your average holiday. It had to be a holiday that we couldn't afford because it was our wedding holiday. It was our honeymoon. You understand what I'm saying? So it had to be more than that. But, you know, it was such a simple decision for us to choose us. Yes. And I can't stress enough for every couple out there, choose yourself first.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so for me, I'm unashamed about the fact that my order of choice is I first choose me, then I choose my wife.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people go, no, but she's your wife now. You've got to choose her first. And I go,
No.
The more
you
I take care of
you, you must focus on yourself first.
100%. Also, it's that airline thing. You know how that they advertise that thing about women traveling with children in the event of an emergency.
Wear your mask
put
first.
Put your own mask on first.
Exactly. Then
you
can secure it on the baby.
You can't help anyone else.
So the better I am, the more love I can give my wife.
Yeah.
The more care I can give my wife.
Yeah.
And we have that balance. And I think I really think we made the best decision for ourselves. I feel like you haven't asked me one real question.
No. Those were the questions. I think, you know what? And on that note, I can just tell you that you definitely had the best wedding. And
I
you had
agree.
A perfect mm-hmm.
wedding. For me.
And you guys are happy. And on that closing note, I can just say to you, you is kind, you is smart, and you is important.
Indeed. Me is nice.
And you is planning my wedding for me.
Look, my guy, I can give you my travel agent's number, and it's as simple as that.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Travel agent's number. Oh, and his banking details.
Well, that's true. But I thought you were doing it in a friendly thing.
And I'm leaving.
No, he doesn't accept cars.
I am out of here. I'm gone. That's it.
I just always feel guilty without saying something like proper moving. You know, like have that moment that you can cut into a promo. You know that moment where you're like
Do it.
No, I mean like are you guys not gonna help?
No.
I'm gonna have my ring here just to show that brotherhood.
I'm just gonna listen. Do it.
Go
straight there.
These Pride Rock people, right? Firstly, these are cool people. But they're always on about this love change thing. Then I think the reason we don't really and instinctively love change is because we are scared of failure. The biggest thing I learned in the last 12 months is fail, my people. Fail as much as you can. Because if you're failing, it means you're out of your comfort zone. And if you're failing, think about it as an exploration mission. You can't get to X marks the spot if you don't start moving. Sometimes you've got to dig up a couple of holes. But once that shovel hits that solid and you know, the gold is here. Yeah. So my advice is keep failing. Keep trying and dala what you must.
Dala what you must.
That's here. Be kindest to yourself so you can be kindest to everybody else. Then chase your happiness and live your best life and embrace change. The more change, the more life. Bottom line.
Okay, cut before you send us an invoice.
Promo.
We hope you've enjoyed Chatting Change, made just for you by Bright Rock, the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. For more needs-matched content like Chatting Change, visit changeitschange.co.za.